This is file 42. Today's date is September 10th, 2016. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Jeff Lloyd, and he's going to talk about a lot of things, including his recollections at the Grove, starting the Jane Lloyd Fund, the Salisbury Board of Education, and the Zoning Board of Appeals, and anything else that tickles his fancy. But first, we'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
My name is Jeffrey A. Lloyd.
And when were you born?
I was born on September 14, 1960.
And your birthplace?
I was born in Port Chester, New York.
Your parents' names?
Jack W. Lloyd and Ann Knowlton Lloyd.
And that's K-N-O-W-L-T-O-N.
Correct.
How did you get from Port Chester to Lakeville?
My father was practicing physical therapy somewhere in New York City. And my mother, there was three of us at the time, we were living in Harrison, New York. And my father got an offer to be head of physical therapy department at Sharon Hospital. My grandparents, who owned the Woodland at the time, they used to summer at Silver Lake, and that's how they got to know the area. And they used to come up from Jackson Heights, New York, Brooklyn.
What were your grandparents' names?
Donald and Catherine Knowlton.
Well, that goes back a long way.
Yes. They bought the Woodland in 1955.
Ah, okay. I know you have siblings.
Yes.
Would you please name them?
I have a brother, Stephen Lloyd, who's deceased. I have an older sister, Susan Lloyd. I have a younger sister, Jane Lloyd, who's deceased. And I have a younger brother and sister who are twins, Billy and Donna.
All right. What was your education after high school?
2 years of college.
And you said it was Southern Connecticut State?
Yes.
Okay. What do you remember about the Grove? Because you grew up here in Lakeville.
Oh, I remember the Grove was our utopia, if you would.
Oh, good.
We lived there. That was my mother's babysitter.
Perfect.
She'd go off to work, and we'd all hang out down at the Grove. We sort of watched each other. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the time in the world where, you had to have a parent watching everything you do, or if you just dropped the kids off, it was fine back then. The kids just went to the Grove, and that's where everybody looked out for each other, and Frank Markey and Fred Romeo and Harold Bryan.
Oh.
They all pitched in and looked after all the kids with cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
Oh, good.
It was fun.
Were there any sock hops at the Grove building?
Yeah, there was hops, yeah, during the school year.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. Tell me about the Jane Lloyd Fund. Where did the idea come from?
The Jane Lloyd Fund came about when my sister was ill. She was on her deathbed, and there's nothing that we could do for her. So I came up with something that would ensure that she was not
forgotten.
And I spoke to my sister-in-law at the time, and I said that it would be great if we could do a fund that would help families out. That the way that the community helped my sister out. And what we do is we take care of the day-to-day living expenses. So if there's no money coming in, at least they can pay their bills, stay in their house, and that was it.
Is it for one specific disease?
No. Yes, it's for cancer.
Mm-hmm. Is it just breast cancer or cancer in general?
Cancer in general.
Cancer
in general. Any family that's inflicted with a cancer disease.
And what are some of the events that you have?
The main thing we do, one of the people that helped me start the fund was Tanya Tedder, and she does a clam bake every year, and that's the major fundraiser.
Is it a real old-fashioned clam bake?
Yeah, it's like a New England clam bake, where it's like you're out on the beach and you
do the pit,
do
the
seaweed.
Pit
and the rocks and the seaweed and the tarps and things like that, yeah.
When is that generally held?
That's usually at the end of July, last weekend of July.
And you've raised a lot of money.
Yes.
Good.
We've raised a lot of money.
It's with the Bissell Fund and the Family Services and the Jane Lloyd Fund, we've got a lot of things to take care of our community.
Right. Well, the Jane Lloyd Fund
is special.
What it does is it does not just include Salisbury.
Oh.
It includes all of Region 1.
Oh.
So we go to you know all the towns in the Region 1 area.
Marvelous.
So we take care of everybody.
And how long has that been going?
It'll be 12 years.
Wow.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, 12 years.
Alrighty. Shall we go on to the Board of Education?
Sure.
All right. When did you run for the office?
It would have been about 9 years ago, which is
2007.
2007, yeah.
Why did you want to be on the school board?
Well, I think what happened was is that I got, shall I say, a little irritated by the empty school buses. And I think what precipitated is one morning I was coming from Salisbury to Lakeville, and I was at the traffic light, and somebody, parents were in such a hurry to get their kids to school because they were late, that this one person, there's a left-hand turn mm-hmm. signal coming from Lakeville towards Salisbury, and that turn signal is delayed, and then it goes yellow, and then the people from Salisbury get a green light, and they keep going. Well, what happened was is that this one woman was in such a hurry that she followed a car across the lane, mm. but on the side I couldn't see her. She was blinded because she was almost next to the car going up the hill. I almost hit him.
Ooh.
And ooh. I got really, really upset with that. And the child was on...
Your side.
On my side.
Yeah.
So I went up to the school principal. I said, there's got to be something done here. Something has to happen here or somebody's going to get hurt. There's just too much traffic, too many people rushing to school, and I just don't understand why people don't get on the bus. Well, you can't tell a parent that you have to put the kid on the bus. You cannot tell
no.
a parent what to do with their kids.
No.
So then I've got a phone call from Roger Rawlings saying that there was an opening coming up because one of the board members went to be on the Board of Selectmen, and they can't be on both
mm-hmm.
boards.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a phone call from Roger Rawlings saying that we have a vacancy. Would you like to come and fill it? And that's how I got on the school board.
Is there a term?
It's a four-year term.
And how many terms can you have in succession?
Any
number.
Any number.
How many people are on the board?
There are seven.
Do you have children in the system?
No.
Is it a mixture of community individuals like yourself and parents?
I think the majority are parents.
Okay. All righty. When do you meet and where do you meet?
We meet at the last Monday of the month, and it's at the school library. That may change because they made a makerspace in the library, so that sort of took up our little area there, so I'm not quite sure where we're going to be meeting.
Library in the lower building?
Upper building.
Upper building.
Right.
Okay. Both buildings have changed so much.
Oh, it's yes. I think the lower school has more, and it's like I'm so disappointed what they did with that building. It was such a fun building when I was there.
Tell me about the building when you were there, the lower building.
The lower building, I think the best part of the lower building was the old gym, and where we used to have the Friday night movies.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Kosowski would put the Friday night movies on. The AVA was the group of kids
yep.
that got together to show the movies,
mm-hmm.
and it was great because it was almost like a professional movie theater because he had two projectors side by side, and we would look through the little window and wait for the little dot on the upper corner, and then we knew we saw the second dot, we had to change projectors.
Yeah.
And it was set up, it was really cool because everybody got an idea, who was part of the AVA got an idea what it was like to be
a real projectionist.
Yeah. And it was fun. It was fun. And Bob Kosowski was a projectionist.
Yeah.
at the Millerton Theater and a few other places.
And Fred Romeo sort of monitored.
He was the monitor, yes.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now that you're on the school board, what do you have a specific duty?
Yeah, I'm the chairman of the Building and Ground Committee.
And that entails what?
And that entails the upkeep of the building and the grounds, going over what we need to do to for summer projects, because summer is really the only time we're able to do any real maintenance on the school. Yeah. We have 2 months because we don't want to disturb the kids then when they're in school. We review contracts for snow plowing and for the mowing in the summer. We make a list of projects, as I said, for the summer, and then there's also other things, which is school improvements like paving and
furnaces,
yeah, that type of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got two buildings. How much acreage do you have?
I'm not quite sure how many acres we have there. Quite a few.
Yeah.
Quite a few. It's probably one of the bigger campuses.
I would think
In the region. For the grammar schools, yeah.
How much of a time commitment is your job?
Well, as I say, it's every last Monday of the year, and those meetings go for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And then it's usually, now it's going to be every Thursday morning, we meet for an hour, hour and a half from the Building and Grounds Committee. Because we do have a project coming up next summer that's going to be major repair works and paving and things like that.
Okay. Do you have to have, for the school board, do you have to have any special training, or is it just your work experience through life?
There are CABE meetings. I've never really been to one. I don't have the time to break away from work. I think it's just life experience.
Yeah, with what you're doing as a contractor.
Yeah, from what my contribution is to the board, it's more that I'm really, sometimes I'm sort of in the dark a little bit with all the policy and the because I don't have kids in the school, so I don't see I don't have the experience that my child is
doing such and such.
Such and such because of what this program does or that program does. But I think if I feel strongly about something, I do speak up.
Oh,
about
sure.
Why do we do this or why do that? But I don't have the hands-on, day-to-day living experience, like if I had a child in the school, knowing that this program is affecting my child this way.
And maybe it's good to have an unbiased opinion for that.
Right. I feel that I sort of represent the people that
don't have children,
in the school.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I always hear in town, well, why do they have to have this? Why do they have to have that? They never had that when I was in school. They never...
Times change.
Education has changed
tremendously,
and unfunded policies that the state puts on us.
Oh gosh, yes,
tremendous.
Yeah,
but we have to follow. Like you have to have a bus that holds 42 kids, or a bus that you have to have a bus big enough to take every child home on that road, even though they don't take the bus. Even though they never step foot on the bus.
Yep.
You have to have a bus that size.
Yep.
And that's something I learned. But it's a state mandate.
Yes, it is.
The mandate is the word. It's a state mandate, unfunded state mandates.
Linda Carter, I'm assuming, is on the...
Lisa. Lisa, yeah.
Who was the principal before her?
Chris Butwell.
Oh,
he was there for a short period of time.
Yeah, he took my job when I retired, and then he came back as principal.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is Lisa pro education, pro building improvement?
Oh God, yes. She is. That woman spent more time at that school than you could believe.
Good for her.
It's her life.
Well,
it's literally her life, and she has really taken a big interest in the the grounds, and you know, she wants to bring the classrooms back into the 21st century. Mm-hmm. Some of those classrooms, a lot of those classrooms, have never been touched since the day it was built.
I know.
And the cupboards are still the same. Little sliding doors.
Oh, yeah.
They're all the same.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And probably, you know, the custodians do the best they can, but there is probably...
Oh, sure.
Dust in there and dirt in there that came in 1955 or 19... whatever
it's,
year.
It's precious dirt. I was in a lot of
right.
those rooms. Education has changed. I've been out 26 years, and it's changed a tremendous
right.
amount. The basics are still there.
Right.
You still try to nurture a child mm-hmm. and work to their strengths and improve their weaknesses, if,
right.
and they all have weaknesses.
Right.
That hasn't changed,
right.
but the presentation, the technology
mm-hmm.
has changed.
And the other thing is that post-Sandy Hook, the school has changed... in the security aspect, you know, we've had to coat the windows mm-hmm. with a special coating so that they can't be broken into if there's an intruder. We've had to take, you know, vegetation out around the buildings.
So they can't hide.
So they can't hide. There's cameras everywhere. There's the glass on the inside where the doors are going in. That's all... It's all reflective glass now, so that people can't look in, but the teachers can look out. And it has changed tremendously post Sandy Hook as far as security at the schools. You have to check in.
Yeah.
You have to be buzzed in through the front door. Yeah. There's just no walking into the schools anymore.
I know. The first time that I went up and I was looking at this buzzer and this black button and. What do I do? I had no clue.
Right.
And a parent came along and showed me what to do.
Right.
And, of course, I went to the front desk and said to Patty Stevens, I used to work here. You know.
And she'll say, I work here and I still got to do this.
Yeah. I was doing a program with something and we had to have a name tag. And so I start putting in MRS, and the lady I was with says, no, you do your first name. I said, my first name is Mrs. Nobody's going to call me by my first name. Anything you'd like to add about the school board before we go on to the Zoning Board of Appeals?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Covered that.
All right. When did you run for the Zoning Board of Appeals?
15 years ago.
Oh, you've been on a long time. 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I think that somebody just asked me if I wanted to be on the Zoning Board of Appeals, and that was my...
Why not?
We'll check it out, see what it's like.
How many are on the board?
There are 5 with 3 alternates.
Okay. Again, when do you meet and where?
We meet the first Tuesday of the month at the town hall. And we meet at 5 o'clock for our meeting, and our public hearings are at 5:30.
Term of office?
It is a 4-year term.
And how many terms can you serve consecutively?
You can serve as many terms as consecutively as you want. The board chair is only a 4-year term, and then they have to step down for at least a year.
Who's the board chairman?
Right now it's Rick Delpret.
Ah! Okay. What's the purpose of the Zoning Board of Appeals?
The Zoning Board of Appeals is to help people who have been grieved by the zoning regulations. If they say they wanted to put an addition on and the zoning enforcement officer says, no, you can't do it. It's a way for you to put your case to see if you can get a variance. You have to show hardship because of the zoning regulations
mm-hmm.
that cause you a hardship.
Mm-hmm.
Hardship cannot be... self-made, and the hardship cannot be financial.
Are there other specific grievance stipulations?
No, those are usually it's usually Most of the time what it is, it's a special characteristic of your property that makes it, that you would probably most likely get a variance for.
You gave me the example of the Daffodil House.
Mm-hmm.
Would you tell about that, please?
The Daffodil House has a road that's sort of, the town road goes to the side of it, makes a right-hand turn, and goes to the front of the house. Well, they wanted to put a detached garage on.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to put a garage in. But where's the front of the house? Because you have a road that sort of... And it was determined that the front of the house is where the front door is. So that was where they put the house. It was where the garage was fine because of the
configuration
of the road around the property around the road.
Okay. For the Zoning Board of Appeals, do you have to have specific training, or again, is it like
there are some workshops, but it's mainly it's what we do is we interpret the zoning regulations.
Who makes the zoning regulations?
The zoning regulations are made by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And
so you're a separate...
We're separate, yes.
Now, if I've got this right, planning and zoning make the regulations.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody comes to you, you interpret the regulations.
Yes.
So that people don't have a hardship either done by themselves or financially.
Right. If the party is aggrieved by the zoning regulations, they come to us. And what it is mainly... What it is, it's a decision by the zoning enforcement officer that they come to us. If the zoning enforcement officer says no, you have a chance to appeal her decision.
Is she on the PNC?
No.
She's separate?
She is separate. She works for the PZC, the Planning and Zoning Commission. She works for them. She's their enforcement officer.
So
but she is not a voting member of... She's like an administrator to the Planning and Zoning Commission. And
I don't know anything about this.
That's okay. If you have a grievance with the Planning and Zoning Commission, you don't come to us. You go to Litchfield, to the court in Litchfield. That's where the whole Lime Rock PZC thing is coming in now. That it's all...
Litchfield.
All Litchfield.
Lucky them.
Mm-hmm.
Time commitment. Is it a large amount of time?
It depends. It has in the past. Contentious sometimes.
Yes.
Because of some of the things that have gone on in town.
Yeah.
Projects being stopped in the middle because of lack of, shall I say,
right.
Oversight.
Ah, okay.
There's been, as far as in all the years, in the 15 years, there have been 4 properties that have buildings put on them that should not have been built. Two of them they've had to alter the foundation after the house is framed up. And two of them got really, really, the first two that we were on got really, really contentious with personalities, lawyers, and...
Well, that's not good.
And we were the ones who were put right in the middle of it, and it was... And...
rats.
It's not fun. Plus it cost the taxpayers...
Yeah.
I mean, it cost the taxpayers thousands of dollars in lawyer fees.
You said something about a Poland...
Poland report.
Tell me about that.
The Poland report came after a property that had... The house was... There was a second story added to a house when it wasn't supposed to be because of a non-conforming building. The regulations clearly said that you were not allowed to expand a non-conforming building in any way, including up. But that's what it said in the regulations, mm-hmm. But there was an issue with somebody said it's okay to do it, but the regulation was never changed. So the Poland report was, with the lawyer that we were using for that case, we started talking about, you know, having somebody come in and analyze our zoning regulations. So we had this, the gentleman Don Poland come in, and he went through our zoning regulations. It was probably a month or so or more that he, you know, went through them, he analyzed them, wrote up a report, and then we presented it to the town.
How much did that cost?
Not quite sure. I don't remember.
But it was money.
It was significant money, yes. Yeah. And it was, it more or less came, he said that, you know, people will not buy property in a town with weak zoning regulations and enforcement because it doesn't protect the property. People think zoning is, you know, prevent them from doing things on their property. But what it does, it prevents your neighbor from doing things on their property that would affect you. And that's, you know, has his recommendations been taken seriously? I don't think so. Because after that, we've had two buildings that we've had to more or less alter after the fact at the owner's expense.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The only experience I had is I built this house in 1978. And I think I had either building inspectors or permits or almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a conforming house.
Right.
It's on less property. It's on an acre and a quarter. Now you have to have 2 acres to build a house.
Right.
But I guess I'm grandfathered in or
accepted. Yeah, well, this was a subdivision. The subdivision was accepted by the town.
Yeah.
Like this subdivision, you cannot put any more houses than were accepted. You can't You can't divide a piece of property.
We can't add any more houses.
Right.
We're booked. Was the, well, you've already answered that, the Poland report was made and it's not really been implemented.
Well, it hasn't, but I should say that the regulations were rewritten. They were gone through. They had somebody come in and rewrite the regulations. I think it's the enforcement part that is the problem.
So they're not equitably enforced, perhaps.
Right. I did a project in Greenwich, Connecticut last summer, and there are HQ surveys that had to be done in order for you to build your, it was a pool and a pool house.
Mm-hmm.
What you did is you got a zoning permit, and in that zoning permit, you had to have a surveyor come out and plot the building as per the accepted site plan. They dig the foundation. The surveyor came back out and plotted the footings as per the accepted plan. And then the foundation was done. The surveyor came back out, did an A2 survey of where the foundation is on the accepted plan. And then what happens is the zoning enforcement officer signs off on that, and then you get your building permit. So that you cannot build this particular structure until the foundation they know exactly where the foundation is, and it's as per the accepted plan. And that does not happen here. I can see that some places, if you're out in the middle of a field, you wouldn't have to worry about that. But when you have places like on the lake where it seems to be, the Lakeville Lake seems to be the place where all the stuff has been happening. The four projects have been on Lakeville Lake.
Interesting. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about the Zoning Board of Appeals before we close?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Anything in general you'd like to add?
Well, it's been a great town to live in.
It certainly has.
It's been a great place to grow up. There's a lot of people that leave but end up coming back.
Oh, yeah. And that's nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.